Imagine this. One moment you're playing a sport, maybe reaching for something, or you just trip and fall, and bam, a searing pain, this awful pop, and your arm just isn't where it should be.
Yeah.
Today, we're diving deep into that exact moment, the acute shoulder dislocation. We're going to trace its journey, you know, from that initial traumatic event all the way through recovery.
Uh-huh.
And we're drawing all our insights today from orthodeducation.com, which is a really fantastic free resource for patient education on these kinds of musculoskeletal conditions.
Oh, he's a great site.
Yeah. So our mission today is basically to get you really informed about what happens, why it happens, and what that path to recovery actually looks like.
And it's really crucial to specify, like you said, for this deep dive, we're zoning in on acute traumatic shoulder dislocations.
Right.
The kind that happen from a single sudden forceful injury, because this is pretty distinct from, say, someone who has naturally very loose ligaments or maybe chronic instability that develops over time.
Yeah.
Those are different situations entirely. Our sources today really focus on that immediate impactful event.
Okay, so let's unpack that for you. At its core, an acute shoulder dislocation means the upper arm bone, the humerus, it literally pops out of its normal spot in that shallow shoulder socket.
Exactly. The ball comes off the tee.
Yeah. And you often know right away something is seriously wrong because, well, it's usually incredibly painful.
Oh, yeah.
And the shoulder might even look visibly, you know, deformed or just out of place.
Yeah.
You might also get that weird tingling or numbness down your arm, too.
That nerve sensation, yeah.
So who does this typically happen to? And why is this joint, the shoulder, just so vulnerable?
Well, the sources point out it's most common in active people, especially younger athletes.
Okay.
And it often happens during sports or maybe from falls, like you mentioned. And the why is, it's actually pretty fascinating, your shoulder. It's the most mobile joint in your entire body.
Wow.
Think of it like a golf ball sitting on a really small tee. That huge range of motion is amazing. It lets us do so much. But it's also its weakness. It's Achilles' heel, you could say.
Right.
It's just inherently less stable compared to, say, your hip joint, which is like a ball deep inside a socket.
Mm-hmm.
So that mobility is exactly why it's more likely to dislocate than almost any other joint.
That's a great way to put it, the golf ball on a tee. So that freedom of movement is also what makes it, well, risky.
Exactly.
And you mentioned the word traumatic.
Mm.
What does that actually look like? What kind of event are we talking about?
Yeah, it's usually a sudden, pretty forceful event. Like imagine falling hard onto your outstretched arm or taking a direct hard hit to the shoulder, maybe in football, or even twisting your arm in a really unnatural way during, I don't know, a soccer game or while wrestling. These aren't just little bumps.
No.
These kinds of forceful incidents can actually tear the ligaments and the other soft tissues, the things that are supposed to hold that shoulder joint securely together.
Right.
And that allows the ball part of the joint, the humerus head, to literally pop out of the socket, the glenoid.
That sounds incredibly intense. That immediate pain must be overwhelming.
Mm.
So, okay, once the initial shock maybe wears off a little, what's the very first thing doctors do to figure out what's wrong? How do they diagnose it?
Yeah, that's a critical question. Usually a doctor can get a pretty good idea quickly just by looking at your shoulder and asking how the injury happened.
Okay.
The visual signs are often quite clear. The shoulder might look kind of flattened or just obviously out of alignment compared to the other side.
Right.
But the definitive step, almost always, is getting x-rays.
Oh, okay.
And they're not just to, you know, confirm the dislocation is there. They're absolutely crucial for checking if any bones are broken too, because that can sometimes happen at the same time.
That makes sense.
And then in some cases, maybe later on, if there's a worry about deeper damage to the soft tissues, like the labrum, which is that cartilage rim around the socket, or the rotator cuff, those important muscles and tendons around the shoulder, then an MRI or maybe a CT scan might be ordered to get a better look.
Okay, so once they've confirmed it's a dislocation and checked for breaks, what's the first order of business? How do they fix it right then and there?
The immediate priority, the absolute first thing, is getting that joint back into place.
Okay.
And this procedure is called a reduction.
Reduction, got it.
Yeah. It's basically a gentle, controlled maneuver or set of maneuvers to guide the humerus bone back into its socket. It's often done in an emergency room setting.
Right.
And typically you'll get some medication, maybe sedation or pain relief to help relax your muscles because they tend to spasm up.
Oh, I bet.
And to manage the pain during the process. Our source mentions there are various techniques doctors use to actually do the reduction, depending on the situation.
Okay.
And then once it's successfully back in place, you'll almost certainly be put into a sling.
Right, the sling.
And that sling isn't just for comfort, although it helps. It's really critical to protect the joint while those injured tissues start to heal. It's like giving the shoulder a mandatory rest period.
Okay, so getting it back in place, that's the immediate relief. But that feels like just the first step, right? What comes next for, you know, long-term recovery to make sure it doesn't just pop out again?
Absolutely. You've hit on the key thing. Rehabilitation is really the cornerstone of a good recovery.
Okay.
Physical therapy is just vital. It's needed to restore your full movement, your strength, and crucially, the stability of that joint. The exercises usually start off very gently, maybe just passive or assisted range of motion stretches.
Okay.
And then gradually they progress to more active exercises, strengthening the muscles around the shoulder, like the rotator cuff and the deltoid.
And how long does that typically take?
Yeah.
The rehab part?
Well, the duration can really vary quite a bit. It could be several weeks or it might stretch into several months. It really depends on how severe the initial injury was, like how much tissue damage there was.
Right.
And also, importantly, on your individual activity level and what your goals are. You know, are you trying to get back to playing quarterback or just daily activities? It's definitely a personalized journey.
That makes sense. So it sounds like PT is absolutely essential, and hopefully for many people that's enough. But I know some people do end up needing surgery. When does that enter the picture?
That's a really good question. While many people do recover well with just the reduction in physical therapy, surgery does become a consideration in certain scenarios.
Okay.
The sources emphasize that surgery might be needed if the dislocation caused really significant damage, maybe complex fractures or large tears in the ligaments or the labrum that just aren't likely to heal well on their own.
I see.
It's also often necessary if the shoulder keeps dislocating after that first injury. That's a condition we call chronic shoulder instability.
Ah, so it keeps happening.
Exactly. And here's a really critical point, especially for younger folks or parents listening. Young athletes in particular are at a much higher risk for needing surgery.
Really? Why is that?
Well, the data shows that if you're, say, under 25 and you dislocate your shoulder, you have a significantly higher chance of it happening again.
Wow.
Often, this is because even if the main dislocation is fixed, there might be subtle but important damage, like a tear in the labrum called a Bankart lesion, or maybe some stretching of the ligaments that makes the joint inherently less stable going forward.
That's a huge factor.
It really is. So surgery in these cases usually involves repairing those torn ligaments or fixing the labrum, basically tightening things up to stabilize the joint and reduce that risk of it popping out again.
Okay, that's a major consideration for younger active people. Now, beyond needing surgery or just dealing with the rehab, are there other potential, you know, bumps in the road, complications that can pop up after an acute dislocation?
Yeah. While most people do recover well, it's good to be aware of what can sometimes go wrong. The most common issue, as we just sort of touched on, is that chronic shoulder instability,
right,
where the shoulder just feels loose or it keeps partially or fully slipping out of place. That can be really limiting.
I bet.
Other potential issues include things like persistent stiffness in the shoulder, even after rehab, or ongoing weakness, or maybe just a nagging pain during certain movements.
Mm-hmm.
And though it's less common, in some rare cases, nerves or even blood vessels right around the shoulder joint can be injured during the initial dislocation itself.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the risk of these more serious complications tends to increase if you have repeated dislocations.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So after going through all this, the pop, the reduction, the sling, the rehab, maybe even surgery, what does the long-term outlook generally look like? Can people get back to normal?
Yeah, the good news is generally yes, with the right treatment and really importantly, consistent rehabilitation.
Consistency is key.
Absolutely. Most people can expect a pretty good recovery. They often regain full function or close to it and can return to their normal daily activities and even sports.
That's encouraging.
It is. However, the ortho education material really hammers home that point again about age. Younger patients, especially those under, say, 25, do have that significantly higher chance of redislocating the shoulder down the line.
Right, that recurrence risk.
Exactly. For athletes, they often can return to their sports, which is great news for them, but they might need to wear a specific brace for a while or maybe modify how they train or play, at least for a period, to protect that healing shoulder. It's not always a simple flip of a switch back to 100%.
It sounds like managing expectations, especially for those younger athletes, is really important.
Very much so. It can be a real turning point, like you said, if it's not managed really proactively right from the beginning.
Well, this has been incredibly informative, and that wraps up our deep dive into acute shoulder dislocations. Thanks so much for walking us through all that.
My pleasure. So just to recap, we've been discussing acute shoulder dislocations, and all our information today came from that excellent patient education website, orthoeducation.com. It's a really great free resource if you want to understand more about various musculoskeletal conditions.
Definitely worth checking out. And just a reminder, if you are dealing with an injury or you have health concerns, please remember this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. You should always talk to a qualified healthcare professional for advice that's specific to you.
Absolutely. And maybe just a final thought for you, our listeners, to chew on. Considering how common these shoulder dislocations are and how much impact they can have, especially on active people, what might be some really innovative approaches or maybe preventative measures, things that could drastically cut down how often these happen or improve the long-term outcomes even beyond our current rehab and surgical methods?
That's interesting. Something to think about indeed. Thanks again for joining us for this deep dive.